Isaiah 42:10. We read there, "Sing unto the Lord a new song." Titled this, "The New Song." It's just a new song. We saw last time, but it bears repeating, to whom do we sing? We sing unto the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Why is this a new song? Because it's of new mercies made new every morning. Because it's a new covenant. Because it's the everlasting covenant that God made with Himself before the world began, that He makes in the hearts of His children. Look at what we sing, verse 12. "Let them give glory unto the Lord and declare His praise." You know, that's one, we attribute all the glory and all the praise to Him, but He's sending forth His witnesses and He's saying, go and declare. And if we're going to glorify God, He said, give me all the glory. Give me all the praise. Everything we tell folks. And He says, and I will save my people. Now I want you to see four things here. This new song is new as opposed to something that's ordinary and something that's common. This is a new and excellent song. Because this is a song of God's electing grace. Verses 10 through 12. He says, "Sing unto the Lord a new song, and His praise from the end of the earth. Let them that go down to the sea and all that is therein, the isles and the inhabitants thereof, and all these islands, go forth and declare my praise, declare my glory, and let all them that are therein declare my glory." And He says, "Let the wilderness and the cities thereof lift up their voice, the villages that Kedar doth inhabit it. Let the inhabitants of the rocks sing. Let them shout from the top of the mountains. Let them give glory unto the Lord and declare His praise in the islands." Now, how do you know this is talking about God's electing grace? I want to point out one thing to you here in this verse that just is a word of amazing grace. The villages that Kedar doth inhabit. You know who Kedar was? This is talking about his descendants. You know who Kedar was? Kedar is the second son of Ishmael. The second son of Ishmael. You find that in Genesis 25:13. You don't have to look there, but that's where it is. The second son of Ishmael. You remember who Ishmael is, don't you? That child of Abraham's, the product of Abraham and Sarah's work, the product of their will and their effort to try to bring forth and make good on that, the promise that God said He would bring forth. God said, "I'm going to give you a son." And that son's Isaac. And He said, "And in him shall the seed be called." In Isaac came forth Christ. And in Isaac all the elect of God are called. But God said of Ishmael, "Send him and Hagar away. Send them away." But you know, just like Paul told us in Romans 9, that not everybody that was in Israel was of Israel. And God's declaring here, not everybody that was of Ishmael is not left alone. There's some elect among the children of Ishmael. You see, this is a great word of grace to us. It's not tribal boundaries. It's not national boundaries. It's not languages. It's not even religious creeds and things that and we just use those things to try to divide and set ourselves up amongst one another. The salvation of God's people is by God's grace, by His choosing. Look over at Isaiah 60, verse 7. I want you to see this. I love this. You may look at this again when we get to it. Isaiah 60, verse 7. He says, "All the flocks of Kedar." He's putting, you know what His sheep are? His sheep. Sheep travel in flocks, and he's describing His sheep. Does that mean every one of Ishmael's children? No. But it's talking about he has some remnant. He had a remnant. You know who? This is, we're talking about Arab folks. We're talking about Arabs. He said, I've got elect among them. And he says, let all the flocks of Kedar be gathered together unto thee, unto Christ. The rams, the sheep of Nebaioth, shall minister unto thee. They're going to come and sing glory to you and praise you and go forth declaring your glory. How are they going to be made righteous? How are they going to be sanctified? They're going to come up with acceptance on mine altar. They're going to be accepted just like those elect among the Jews are accepted on in Christ the altar. And I'll glorify the house of my glory. Don't you love that? I will glorify the house of my glory. Now, what does that mean? It says, sing this new song. Look over at Revelation 5:9. Revelation 5:9. I want you to see this. Does that mean He's saying, I'm just opening up and I'm going to save I'm saving everybody. Who he's saying, I'm saving my elect people. Who are his elect did he save? Revelation 5:9. And they sung a new song. A new song. That's what he said, a new song. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood. That's who this is talking about. Those Christ redeemed by his blood out of a people, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and has made us under our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Hold your place there in Revelation. We're going to come back to there. How do I know this song is an elect, a song of God's saving grace in his elect? Well, one, that's what makes this song so new. That's what makes this song so excellent. That God saves by his grace, his sovereign grace. It makes it excellent. It's not common. It's not ordinary. It's to those he's chosen. But I know this song is so. I know it's new and it's excellent because it's the song of our successful Savior. Look at verse 13, Isaiah 42:13. The Lord shall go forth as a mighty man. He shall stir up jealousy, zeal, like a man of war. He shall cry, yea, roar. He shall prevail against his enemies. You see that last phrase? He shall prevail against his enemies. At Valley Forge, our patriots that fought when we fought American Revolution, we didn't go forth into battle like the soldiers did after Valley Forge. After Valley Forge, they were taught at Valley Forge when they go forth into battle to yell, to cry out, and. Yeah, and that's a picture we have of a mighty man of war going forth and yelling when he goes forth in zeal. It invigorates, but it also intimidates the enemy. And he says he's going to come forth. Look at verse 14. I've a long time holding my peace. This is the Lord speaking. I've long time held my peace, he said. I've been still and refrained myself. Now I will cry like a travailing woman. Like a woman in childbirth. I'm crying loud, he said. Loud. For a long time, he suffered the Gentile world. All he gave his life right there in this little nation, Israel. And he suffered the whole Gentile world outside of there, with the exception of a few. To walk just in their imagination. And he says, now I'm coming for... And he suffered Israel, that nation Israel, to walk in the same vain imagination, using his word and his oracles to do it. But he said, I'm coming forth now. I'm coming forth. And the Lord, Paul said, the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now he's commanded all men everywhere to repent. Because he's appointed a day. He's going to judge the world in righteousness by that man, Christ Jesus. And this is who we're talking about. The Lord shall go forth. And he's going to judge the world in righteousness by that man. That means I'm going to have to come before God and either be found in Christ Jesus, not having mine own righteousness, but the righteousness which is of God in Christ. Or I'm coming to God and he's going to say, you got no righteousness. He's the man we got to come in. Now, I want you to see this. He shall prevail against his enemies. He shall not fail. This is why this song is so excellent. Because this one who went forth, you see the Lord there in capital letters, L-O-R-D in verse 13. We're talking about God coming forth. The Lord Jehovah coming forth. This is what makes this such an excellent new song. It's because God has come forth. He's the one that's come forth. He said in Isaiah 32:1, he said, behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment. There was a lot of kings in Judah. There were a lot of kings in all the world. But there was no king ever that ever reigned in righteousness. No king who ever satisfied justice. No king who ever delivered the poor and needy. No king who ever did that which is absolutely perfect and right before God. Not one king. But this one who came forth is not like every other king. Look back at Isaiah 7:14. Isaiah 7:14. Behold, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. This is the sign. How am I going to know when you see the sign? And here's the sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. The Lord said, behold, I do a new thing in the earth. A woman shall compass a man. There's coming forth one who is never this woman, this one that's born of this virgin, who've never seen a man. This one is born unlike any other man. This is God come. This is God come. And he says in Isaiah 9, look at verse 6. He says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. This child born is the son given. This child born is the son of God given. God the Son come forth. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government there shall be, and in peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David, upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. He will come forth as a mighty man, and he shall prevail against his enemies. This is what our gospel is. Now, you had kings. You had kings. And then in a kingdom you had servants. And great division between the two. You know what? You had kings and servants. Kings and servants. But you never heard of a king taking the place of the servant and coming in the form of a servant and saving his people from their sin. And this is what he's declaring back in Isaiah 42:1. Behold, my servant whom I uphold, mine elect in whom my soul delighteth. This is the one coming forth. Look at verse 3. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not, verse 4, he shall not fail nor be discouraged till he has set judgment in the earth. Verse 13 says, and he shall prevail against his enemies. I want you to turn over to Revelation 5. I love this right here. Revelation 5:5. John, you know, he was given the revelation of Jesus Christ. And when he was in the Spirit, he said, I began to weep because I didn't see anybody that could open the book the seals of the book that was in God's hand. I didn't see anybody that could open it. And he says in Revelation 5:5, he says, "And one of the elders said unto me, Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof." God promised formerly. We saw last time, the former things hath God declared, and new things I declare, he said, before they come to pass. These former things, he's telling us about new things to come. And he said long time ago in the promise, the Lion of the tribe of Judah shall come. He said, through David the king's coming a king. Through Judah is coming a king. Through David's coming a king. And these elders told John, that king has prevailed. He has come. He has opened the book thereof. And John looked up, and he looked to behold all the glory of this great king. And look what he saw. Look what he saw. Verse 6, "And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain." He saw a lamb. He saw one slain. He saw one that came forth as a servant and died in the place of his people, and laid down his life for his people, who made himself the least in the kingdom of heaven to redeem his people. Look at verse 15. Back in I hold your place there in Revelation. What did he accomplish by that? Look at verse 15. He said, "I will make waste mountains and hills and dry up all their herbs, and I'll make the rivers islands and I'll dry up the pools." When he came forth, he did set judgment in the earth. When he came forth, he took every obstacle out of the way that separated his children from God. This king who came forth in the form of a servant removed all the obstacles. Look, Romans 8:3 says, "For what the law couldn't do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh," he took on him the form of a servant, and in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, dying in the place of his people, he condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of God might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the Spirit, but not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. This mighty man came forth, and he fulfilled everything required of his people. He required all the righteousness of the law. This mighty man shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. This mighty man came forth, and he has fulfilled all righteousness, so that when he gives us eyes and ears to behold him, we behold all righteousness is established. All righteousness is fulfilled. All the law is fulfilled. Bless God, there's nothing else for me to do. He's done everything. I pray this morning that he'll say this, "Hear ye deaf." I can say it, but I pray he says, "Hear ye deaf and look ye blind." Have you ever heard of such? "Hear ye deaf, and look ye blind." I'm going to use Brother Jaime. He works on eyes. Makes people see. And went to school a long time to do that. And Brother Jaime, have you ever had anybody come into your office and be able to say, "Look and see," and they just see? He has to do stuff to make them see. This one right here came forth and he did everything that's required. And when he speaks, he says, "Hear ye deaf," and they hear. And he says, "Look ye blind," and they see. They see. Look, that's why this song's everlasting. New, everlasting. It's a song of his electing grace. It's a song of his redeeming grace. It's a song of this mighty man who is God our King, Christ Jesus the Lord. And then look at it. It's the song of him who quickens his own and brings his people out of darkness with his word. Look at verse 16. "And I'll bring the blind by a way that they knew not, and I'll lead them in paths that they have not known. I'll make darkness light before them, and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them, and not forsake them." Now, what he's talking about here in verse 12 is, he's saying, let them give glory unto the Lord and declare his praise in the islands. And that's what we're doing this morning. We're declaring his praise and we're declaring his glory. And this one who is faithful and true, this one goes forth, Revelation 19:15 says, and out of his mouth goeth forth a sword. Out of his mouth, he comes forth on the white stallion, and out of his mouth goes forth a sword. And he accomplishes this. I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not, and I'll lead them in paths that they've not known, and I'll make darkness light before them, and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them, and not forsake them. Just as God set judgment in the earth in Christ by what he did, or what Christ accomplished. God receives the glory for setting this judgment in the hearts of his people. God's doing it through this song. He's doing it through this proclamation of Christ and him crucified. I can't say, hear ye deaf and hear, and see ye blind and see. But oh, I pray that through his grace, he says it. And when he says it, it happens. It happens. That's, he said here, he said, I'm going to stir up jealousy. I'm going to stir up zeal like a man of war. He said, I'm going to cry. I'm going to roar. When Isaiah was standing there, you know what Isaiah was doing? Isaiah was crying. He was roaring. But you know who was doing the crying and doing the roaring? The one who sent him. God Almighty. The Prince of Peace. The Everlasting Father. This mighty man. When Paul came forth and said, I travail in childbirth till Christ be formed in you. You know who was speaking? You know who was making the word effectual? This one who goes forth to conquer, conquering and to conquer through his gospel. I remember traveling around and preaching. I remember standing up and preaching at the congregation at Franklin. But like I said this morning about a woman not being able to explain what travail is, no preacher was able to explain to me what this travail is like. And my hope and my confidence and my sufficiency for the work is if the Lord's building the house. He's building it. And the Lord's making the word effectual, and he's building it stone by stone, brick by brick, living stone upon living stone, living, elect, redeemed child upon living, elect, redeemed child, all founded on this one foundation, Christ Jesus the Lord. He's doing this. And that's what happens when he roars and he destroys every obstacle. This sword divides the flesh and spirit. Let me ask you a question. Today's 9/11, and I didn't set out to preach a message about 9/11, but as I was preparing this just jumped out at me. From Ishmael came 12 sons who were 12 tribes, the religion of Islam, who says that Ishmael was the chosen son. Ishmael was the son of promise. And who says Muhammad came through him. And from Isaac came Jacob and 12 sons born of him. 12 tribes of Israel. And you have Judaism. You have factions in amongst the nation of Islam, divided amongst themselves and divided against the world. And you have factions in Judaism divided against themselves and divided against the world. Especially the children of Ishmael. And there's a host of other religions in this world worshiping multiple gods from the imaginations of fallen man. And from the tribe of Judah came the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And even among those that take Christ's name, there's all these factions and divisions amongst them. But this is the case. Every one of us came from Adam. Now let me ask you something. Will God leave his elect in the blindness of his heart? Will the God of truth, who gave his Son to set judgment in the earth, save through a gospel that's not another gospel? Will God leave his elect in their vain imagination? He says here, I will bring the blind by a way they knew not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them, and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them, and not forsake them. If that's bigotry, then Paul was a bigot when he said, I marvel at you children in Galatia, that you're so soon removed from him that called you unto another gospel, which is not another gospel. It's the bigotry of the loving John who said, if any man come into your house with another doctrine, don't bid him Godspeed, you're not your partaker of his evil deed. You see, it's the gospel that declares. You know, Isaiah stood here in the midst of Israel declaring this, and the majority in Judah, in Jerusalem, and the majority didn't believe him. But a remnant did. Paul went forth preaching this gospel into the Gentile world, and not everybody believed him. But the black sheep, the black-hearted rebels who fell in Adam but were saved in Christ Jesus by God's grace, Christ went forth through Paul and he declared this gospel into their heart, and he gave them light and life, and he brought them out of darkness into his light. Not everybody believed Peter. Not everybody believed James where they preached. Not everybody believes the gospel today. But this is certain. God doesn't leave his child in darkness, because he gets the glory for calling them out of darkness. And he said there's going to be one fold and one shepherd, and he's bringing them all into that fold. Do you remember this commercial that was on not too long ago? It was one of the cell phone carriers, I think. And I think that's what it was. And folks just walking along, and all of a sudden a few more fell in behind them. And all of a sudden a few more fell in behind them. And next thing you know, there's just this whole multitude following in behind them. Christ is the mighty man, the forerunner who's gone forth. He's the one who goes forth through his gospel calling his people. And as he calls his people, they come out of darkness into this one fold, and they follow him. They hear his voice. And when he gets done, is when he's done. He won't be done until he's brought them all in. And not one will be lost. Because he's taken away the mountain of our flesh and drying up the rivers that would divide us from him, and breaking down every crooked way. Because here's what happened. When a ship's sinking and it splinters into a bunch of pieces, that's just like God revealed some truth. He came and he revealed light. And he said, now, this is a song of judgment too. This is what the last thing I'm going to show you. But he said, remember Jeremiah? He said, you go forth, Jeremiah, and you take a bottle, and you just bust it. And that's what God did with that nation. And that's what God's going to do with this whole world. Is he's just going to bust it. He's just going to break it. But his own, he's calling out. And just like a ship is sinking and it splinters into a bunch of pieces, as long as a man sees one board that he thinks he can hang on to and save himself by that board, he'll hang on to that board and save himself, try to save himself. But this gospel, you know what this gospel does? It makes that one way of salvation Christ only. Christ only. How do I know I've heard this gospel? How do I know I'm not walking in my own will and my own works and my own way? How do I know I'm not leaning to my own understanding? How do I know? How do I make my calling and election sure? God makes us by the power of His Spirit, by the power of His regenerating grace, to stop defending anything we've done. and declare His glory and His praise on that. He makes us to stop looking to ourselves and to declare His glory and His praise. Did He leave Paul where he was? He brought him out majestically in glory, didn't He? Those Gentiles that He called to Paul, did He leave them worshiping the imaginations of their mind? And the, He brought them out, didn't He? When's a man going to stop practicing war? When are we going to learn that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal? Weapons of our warfare are not jets that we fly into buildings. The weapons of our warfare are not religious theology that we use to try to beat one another. The weapons of our warfare is the weapon of our warfare is the gospel of the successful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we just bust open with it. Just like the Lord said, I've held my peace long enough. Will we be persecuted? Was He? I was talking to a brother this week. You don't have to even speak anything to try to get somebody to be angry. When they hear the gospel, it's going to offend. Do you know one of the sad things in this nation? I think it's a subtlety of Satan. You think those in Israel, in Judah, thought they were all Judah and all Israel? They knew all the code words. They knew all the slang. They knew all the terms. Paul did. Paul said, I was a Pharisee of Pharisees. Paul said, it's touching the law, blameless. Paul said, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. If you ask me, I tell you, I'm elect. Why? Because I know God chose people. That ain't what makes us elect. Knowing God chose a people. That's not what makes us an elect child of God. It's the election of God choosing us and putting us in Christ. That's not splitting hairs. That's just soul. That's where we'll quit defending a position and defend a person. Declare a person. Sing the new song, His praise. Give glory unto the Lord. Sing in the islands. Declare His praise in the islands. I got to show you this one scripture. Can I show you this one? Turn to Psalm 29:9. Remember, the Lord said, I'll give them one heart and I'll put a new spirit within you. That means they're going to be one. They're going to be one. Are they all kinds of little things we disagree about? Oh, yeah. As long as we're in this flesh, we are. But this is what we agree on. Salvation is of the Lord. His electing grace, His predestinating grace, His redeeming grace, His regenerating grace, His preserving grace. What do I contribute? A big fat zero. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Does God do this in truth? Oh, did Christ go to the cross and lay down His life? Did it require that? And we can be sure God's going to save through the gospel of truth. Can't we? Is He going to save through a gospel that's not a gospel, another gospel? Is He going to save through the message of Islam? No, He's going to save through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not that Allah and God are the same. It's God's God. And He calls them into one fold and makes them one people. Look here at Psalm 29:9. I love this. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calf and discovereth the forests. Are you a hind? Are you one of His calves? You know what His voice does? It makes them to calf. It makes them to bring forth life. It makes them to come forth in life. And He speaks that no matter where they are in the forest, He brings His voice to them. He's able to send His gospel and discover them in the forest. And when He does, in His temple doth everyone speak of His glory. Every one of them. He gives them one heart and one spirit. He'll prevail against His enemies. Now the last thing is, this is God's judgment. And I'm not going to read all of this, but I'm just going to read this verse 17. They shall be turned back. They shall be greatly ashamed that trust in graven images, that say to the molten images, "You are our gods." They're going to be turned back. Lord, didn't we do many wonderful works? Is the works of our hands, didn't we do something wonderful? Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Oh, what shame. What shame. And He says here to us, this is a people robbed and spoiled. Don't just see Israel robbed and spoiled. Don't just see that political nation. It's not of one political nation. It's not of one tribe. It's not of one kindred. It's not of one tongue that's spoiled and robbed. It's the whole human race. None saying restore. Nobody's... How do you say restore? Declare the glory of His gospel. Declare what He's done. And He says, restore. 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 And He says, verse 23, who among you give ear to this? Who will hearken and hear for the time to come? Who gave Jacob for a spoil and Israel to the robbers? Did not the Lord, He against whom we've sinned? Why did He do that? We've sinned against Him. Why did he turn Israel over? For they would not walk in His ways, neither were they obedient unto His law. Therefore He poured upon Israel the fury of His anger and the strength of battle, and set him on fire round about, yet he knew not, and it burned him, yet he laid it not to heart. It's a song of judgment. But you know what God's grace causes the believer to do? The believer doesn't want to see anybody perish. That's why we spend and be spent for the Lord. That's why we send the gospel forth. That's why we want to see the gospel go forth into all the earth. That's why it's not that God's going to use His people. He's going to use His messengers. He's going to bring forth this gospel. But this gospel makes us to rejoice in God's judgment. God's judgment's the believer's friend. The judgment that was poured out on Christ demands I be saved. The judgment that was poured out on Christ demands I be called out of darkness. The judgment that was poured out on Christ demands that the righteousness satisfied, the perfection made by God Almighty requires that this truth come to me. And it requires this truth come to His people. And when it comes, this is the judgment that makes us stop saying, well, if I believe that, then I'm going to be saying my grandma and grandpa died and perished. It makes us take sides against God, with God against ourselves. Ourselves first, and every other relation. And bear the persecution of His wrath for His glory and His praise. And until God's brought us out of the darkness, we'll just keep on defending everybody but God. And you know what we're doing? Defending ourselves. Defending ourselves. That's exactly what we do. But this is what He said. I can't go without quoting this. But now, verse 43:1. Now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob. He's talking about His Jacobs and among Jacob. He's talking about His Jacobs among the sons of Israel, and His Jacobs among the sons of Ishmael, and His Jacobs among the all the inhabitants of the world, I created thee, he said. I formed thee, O Israel. Jacob's what we are in ourselves. Israel's what we are with God. As a prince, thou hast prevailed with God. Why? Because this one prevailed against his enemies. This mighty man. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. This is the name wherewith he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. And this is the name she'll be called with, the Lord our righteousness. I've called you by name. He said, whose name? He said, my own. My own. You're mine. You're mine. That's the new song. That's what makes us go forth saying, I'm busting. I can't hold it anymore. I held my peace long enough. I gotta tell you about it. Let the chips fall where they may. Gotta tell you. I trust this mighty man who's gonna prevail. Do you? Do you? Can you rejoice with me? Is he calling you in line with him? Is he calling us out of that darkness and bringing us in together into this one fold together, locking arms together, held together by his grace? Bless God if it's so. He's done it. He's done it. Amen.